Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Straight Talk About Hormones, where we'll always give you the straight truth, not just media sound bites. We give you the latest reports from the international experts, and here's your chance to get medical information you might not be getting elsewhere. Here's your chance for everything you've wanted to know about hormones but were too confused to ask, or your doctors poo-pooed as silly questions. So tune in each week for a lively time asking questions, sharing experiences, hearing about treatments and solutions that work. You'll even hear strange but true hormone-related problems from my own medical practice and patients. I'm Elizabeth Lee Valete, MD, and for the next 45 minutes, I'll be discussing hormone health for women. Each week's show of Straight Talk will feature a lively, informative discussion, and we'll delve behind the headlines and talk in more depth about all the ways that hormones affect a woman, from hot flashes to mood swings, from sex drive to energy level, migraines, memory, anxiety, bladder problems, bone health, and so much more. Who am I to lead this discussion? I've had over 25 years' experience in women's health, treating patients from across the country and overseas for a variety of hormone-related problems. I've personally researched and written 6 consumer books on these overlooked hormone connections, and more books are in the works. Each year, I attend one or more of the major international menopause or gynecologic endocrinology world conferences where international experts present the latest research about hormones and health. You'll find that international perspective is very different from the headlines you see in the United States, based primarily on research using a mixture of horse-derived estrogens alone or with a potent synthetic progestin, not exactly what a human female body may need. And most importantly, I've been there. I'm a woman. I've walked this journey with many of my patients. I've had severe PMS. I had a hysterectomy at a young age. And I live now the benefits of balanced hormones. I can say firsthand, I understand what this is all about. As we explore this topic of female hormones, you'll be surprised just how far-reaching hormones are in your life and how empowering good, reliable, medically sound information can be. In fact, estrogen alone affects over 400 functions in a woman's body, yet the only 3 you seem to hear much about are the FDA-approved ones, hot flashes, vaginal dryness, or bone loss. Well, I say, what about the other 397 things that are affected? What do we do about those? I'll start each program with a short monologue and overview about the topic, and then I'll take your calls at 646-716-8913. If you have a question about hormones, I'll do my best to answer it. No question is too trivial. If I don't know, I'll say so, and we'll research your question to discuss on an upcoming show. There's a place on my website, www.herplace.com, for you to send in questions ahead of time, or you can call in during the show and ask it live. My website also has a list of upcoming topics that we'll put up 2 to 3 weeks ahead of the show, so you can be thinking about what you'd like to ask. I've also written free, downloadable PDF booklets and reports that will help you work more effectively and proactively with your own doctor. My show is educational. We are not a commercial. You won't hear ads to buy a bunch of supplements or quick fix products. My show is for savvy women who want more than the latest soundbite of information, who want more than fear-based headlines, who want more than an unproven remedy or the latest trendy supplement. Keep in mind, though, regulatory issues do not allow physicians to provide medical advice for individuals over the internet, so I can't answer specific medical questions that require an evaluation, but I can address general questions and give suggestions for you to follow up with your own physician. I may also be talking about uses for hormones that have not yet had FDA approval in this country as an accepted indication for treatment. But my commitment to you is that my discussions will be based on the good science from international research. So tonight, we'll be talking about Hormones 101, what you didn't learn in school. And if you have questions, call in at 646-716-8913. And we have some callers on the line, so let me see what questions have come up so far, and then we'll go into some of the things that I wanted to talk with you about. Good evening. Welcome to Straight Talk About Hormones. Well, let's try another caller and see if we can hear them. Caller number two. Do you have a question? Well, it looks like we're having a little trouble hearing the callers that are online. So let me go ahead with some of the things that I had planned to talk with you about tonight. One of the things that you need to keep in mind is that hormones work throughout the body, and tonight we'll be talking more about the ovarian hormones, but there are lots of other hormones in the human body, which we'll talk about in other shows. And women's ovaries make a number of hormones throughout our lives. Most of us probably heard a little bit about this in health class in the seventh grade and probably don't think about it very much after that, except to have a period each month or complain about the PMS or complain about the breast tenderness and the bloating and some of those difficulties. But basically, it's really important to think about hormones as chemical messengers. These are the body's communicators. They carry messages from the organs in our body to the various target tissues throughout our body. The ovaries talk to every cell and organ in the body by way of receptors and interaction with other chemical messengers. Let's look at what are some of the hormones that the ovaries make. First of all, we think of estrogen as the quintessential female hormone, but it is really 50 or more different types of compounds, some of which are a lot more potent than others. Our primary human estrogens are called estrone, or E1, estradiol, or E2, and estriol, or E3. There is a newly discovered fourth estrogen called estritol, which is E4, and it's made by the fetus during pregnancy. And we'll talk more about that in some upcoming shows as well, because there's a lot of exciting research overseas about the effects of this newly discovered estrogen made by a baby's liver during pregnancy. A lot of the other estrogens in this whole 50-plus group come from the way the body breaks down our estrogens into a variety of other compounds. Some are inactive, some are hormonally very active, some are more potent, some are less potent, some have potentially negative effects, and others have more positive effects. It all can get rather involved, but the main thing to do is to keep in mind that the three primary estrogens are the ones that you hear more about. Estrone, or E1, was the very first one identified, and it's made in the ovary, the body fat, the liver, and a variety of other places. And it's an important source of storage forms of estrogen for the body to then make the more potent estradiol, sometimes called E2. E2, or estradiol, is our primary estrogen before menopause. And after menopause, that's the one that we tend to lose. And that's where we begin to have problems. Once our ovary runs out of the follicles that are our hormone-producing factories as we reach menopause, then women start to lose this primary important estrogen that has all of these several hundred functions throughout the brain and body. There's a weaker estrogen that you also probably have heard about called estriol, or E3, and E3 is a weaker form of estrogen that is made primarily by the placenta during pregnancy. It has very little effect and very little activity most of the rest of our lives, but during pregnancy, the estriol made by the placenta seems to help account for that healthy glow during pregnancy because the receptors are found in the hair follicles and the skin and the vagina. Hundreds of studies over the last 50 years have found that estriol has very little estrogenic action at the bones, the brain, heart, and other critical sites. So for those of you that get told that you should try estriol, you probably aren't getting a lot of estrogenic benefit from it, and it's a myth that estriol protects against breast cancer. That myth has been perpetuated down through the consumer literature, but the medical studies do not support that. Prior to menopause, women have about a one-to-one balance of estradiol to estrone, but after menopause, we start having more and more buildup of estrone and less of the good primary estradiol. So those are all some of the quick hormones 101 overlook of the estrogen part of the pathway. What about progesterone? Progesterone is a pregnancy-promoting hormone produced by the ovary with ovulation. It's the progestational hormone that helps the body sustain a pregnancy. Until ovulation, progesterone is typically less than 1. After ovulation, the level can rise up to 25 or so in the bloodstream, and that peaks around day 20 of your menstrual cycle. That rise in progesterone in the second half of your cycle prepares the body to sustain a pregnancy, but it also has a host of things that all of you women out there know all too well: feeling hungrier, craving sweets, thirstier, breast fullness, breast tenderness, and feeling like you're just too lethargic and bloated and fat and miserable. Well, there are a lot of reasons for that. Progesterone relaxes the muscles of the intestinal tract so that things move through a little more slowly, which makes you feel fat and bloated and constipated. Part of that is an adaptation to help the fetus get more, the baby get more food, but for the mother who's not pregnant, it just means you feel a little sluggish. In addition, progesterone acts on the brain like a sedative. It's like Mother Nature's Valium. And what happens then is for some women, they actually feel depressed and very foggy brain and talk about having groggy feelings or headachy or depressed or fatigued or lethargic. And they say, I can't get out of bed. I withdraw. I can't get up and go. I can't do what I want to do. So some of the things that actually are helpful about progesterone for pregnancy get in the way of us living our busy lives at other times. And we'll be talking a lot about progesterone and all of the myths and misinformation as well as its beneficial effects as we go through our series of shows. A third major ovarian hormone that actually we think of as a male hormone, but is really an important female hormone too, is testosterone. A lot of women think of that as the hormone that causes acne or causes facial hair or makes your voice deep. But what's fascinating is that women's bodies make more testosterone before menopause than they do estrogen, and the levels are actually higher than that of estradiol. Testosterone is part of a larger group of hormones called androgens that are important for muscle strength, bone strength, healthy skin, healthy hair. It also is involved in keeping the secretions of your eye functioning normally, as well as it being the hormone often called the hormone of desire, increasing sexual desire and libido and sexual responsiveness. But testosterone and estradiol work together in that regard, and if your estradiol is too low, even if you have enough testosterone, you often don't have a normal sexual drive. So altogether, these three major hormones from the ovaries, there are others such as DHEA that are an androstenedione. All of the hormones from the ovary work together in concert in a balance that's critically important. When you have too much of one and not enough of the other, it leads to problems and symptoms. So let's see if we can access some of our callers that are waiting to ask questions and see if we can hear what some of their questions are at this point. Hello, this is Straight Talk About Hormones.
Yes. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, well, I've got a question. What is the best form of estrogen that I should be looking for? And what is Triest? Is that an estradiol?
Triest is a formula of three estrogens, estradiol, a little bit of estradiol, a lot of estriol, and estrone. It's not a combination that is used very much in the United States except from compounded pharmacies, and it's not an FDA-approved product. Unfortunately, Triest has some potential negative effects that most women don't realize because estriol often is present in higher concentrations than estradiol, and it actually interferes with the normal functioning of estradiol, which we need for memory and concentration and sleep and healthy mood. Most of the patients that I see who've been on Triest have had continued problems with hot flashes, with fuzzy thinking, they don't sleep as well, and in fact, some of the research being presented at the international menopause meetings suggests that giving estrone and estriol as part of this formula actually has negative effects on the breast, because those two estrogens, estrone and estriol, are on the pathway of estrogen metabolism that increases the risk of breast cancer. I think it's far better when our ovaries are declining in the amount of estradiol that we make. I think it's really important that women look at some of the FDA-approved products that allow replacement of just the estradiol, and we'll be talking about what those are. We have another caller waiting, so thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to Straight Talk About Hormones.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening. Welcome to Straight Talk About Hormones.
Hi, I'm calling. I have a question.
Okay. Welcome. Go ahead.
I'm taking estrogel. I'm using it, estrogel. Is this a natural hormone?
Actually, estrogel is a bioidentical form of estradiol that was approved by the FDA in the United States in 2004. Now, what's interesting about that is French women have had this product since 1974, so they're 30 years ahead of us on that one. But the product that you're taking, estrogel is the brand name, and the name of the hormone in it is 17-beta-estradiol, which is identical to the primary estrogen I was just talking about made by the human ovary. It's really an excellent option, and we've recently had published studies that show that with that particular form you're taking, there's a lower risk of blood clots than what has been reported in our headlines about the oral mixture of estrogens used in the Women's Health Initiative, like Premarin, for example. So I think your question is a good one. That's as natural as you can get with something that your ovary is no longer making.
Well, I am so glad to hear that because I am feeling better than I've ever felt.
Well, that's terrific, and I certainly know that feeling, and I wish you well, and thanks for calling and participating in our show.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good night. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Okay.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Good evening.
Hello?
Go ahead with your question. Caller, you're on the air.
Okay, I wanted to know something about, I've read your books, and I found them to be most interesting, most helpful, and the question that I actually have relates to something that you speak about, glycine, and how it's in many different products that people take. And I also have taken glycine in many supplements, but you talk about how they affect brain function negatively and memory and such, and I'd like to know a little more about that.
Well, you may be thinking about also what I was talking about in several of my books about glutamate and glutamine, mm-hmm. as well as glycine. Many times when we load up these supplements, we're dealing with brain pathways that require the right balance and that are very sensitive to the amount that is coming in the circulation. When you take a supplement and are delivering a large load at one time, it can either overwhelm the receptors or it can trigger a block of other important amino acids and neurochemicals from getting to where they need to be. And the point I was making is that many of these over-the-counter supplements that are sold as memory enhancers, actually some of the studies that have been done show that they can be toxic to the nerve cells because it's a concentration-dependent issue. So it gets involved, and that's why I continue to say that I think it's really important that we have the right hormone balance and we try to get a healthy balance of foods in our diets and the basic vitamins, but not overload on the supplements.
How can one, what products do have an excess that you think it would be good to, if not avoid, to be careful about? Because it seems to be in so many different supplements. And is it just the
I think actually if I were to start a product list, I'd be here all night because there's so many of them. I would encourage all of our listeners to carefully read the labels with anything you take. And actually, there are a number of websites that have unbiased information, very similar to Consumer Reports, actually, about some of these supplements. I think one of the reputable resources that I've found helpful as a physician and have recommended to patients is the Comprehensive Database of Natural Medicines, which is a research-based website that does not take advertising. And there you can subscribe and get the information that you need from a reliable source.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your help, and keep up the good work.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Sure. Bye.
Good evening, caller. This is Dr. Vliet and Straight Talk About Hormones. Go ahead with your question. Caller, you're on the air. Maybe that caller has a hormone challenge. So let's try another one. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Well, this seems to be the night of technological glitches. So let's try. Caller, you're on the air. Hello? Caller from area code 919.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Welcome.
Hi. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for all of your wonderful books and all the work you're doing.
Well, you're so welcome.
It's just so needed, and I just really appreciate it. My main question is I'm in perimenopause years, and I really feel like my hormones peak and valley. They're up and down all over the place. And when I've had some hormone tests at different times, sometimes they're coming out high, sometimes they're low. And I want to try, I also suffer from hormonal migraines, so I really want to try, you know, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, but my concern is I've experimented with it once for a couple of weeks, and I really felt terrible on it. And I think it's really hard to find the right balance and the right timing. And I just want to know, do I have to give it a couple of months before my body's going to balance off and work well with the hormones?
Well, let me start with a couple of key points about the things that you've said. First of all, yes, it can take time to find the right balance that works for you and the right products, because each woman's body metabolism is different, and we've had a one-size-fits-all approach in the United States for the last 50 years, and that's got to change. So first of all, it does have to be individualized. Secondly, you were talking about perimenopause and the hormone up and down, and absolutely that is perimenopause in a nutshell. It's like one of the worst roller coaster rides you can have at times. And so it's important, if women want to do blood levels with their doctors to find out where they are, it's important that you try to learn your body rhythms and go not only by cycle phase in your menstrual cycle, and I have a booklet on my website that describes some of these tests for those of you that would like to read more. Booklet's free. You can download it. But the other thing is that for some, a lot of my patients, I will encourage them to let me know when their symptoms are the worst. And that will be a time that we may look at doing the proper testing to see how we can put the pieces together and figure out what we need to do. Now, you mentioned hormonal migraines. We're going to have a whole show on that coming up several weeks from now. But basically, one of the main triggers for migraines in women who are genetically susceptible to that is the drop in estradiol that can occur right as you're beginning to start your period, or right with ovulation. You may have noticed that.
Yeah, that's exactly when I get them too, right on the, you know, at the moment.
Well, what I do with a lot of my patients, and you can talk with your own doctor about this, mm-hmm. sometimes if you know that that's the time that you're most vulnerable, you can actually ask your doctor if he or she would be willing to let you work with one of the FDA-approved gels, for example, like estrogel, or a low-dose patch of estradiol, and there are several FDA-approved products for that.
I did try Climera that way once, and I tried it, the day before I got my period, I put it on, and I still got a bad migraine.
Sometimes, and that's, again, feedback that as you work with your physician, sometimes you need to change the dose of the patch that you use, mm-hmm. or you may need to put it on a little sooner.
Okay.
And the more that you can track your symptoms and keep tabs on what time they occur and what dose you are using, and give that feedback to your physician so that he or she can tailor the approach to the way your body is metabolizing it.
And one last quick point about that. Do you think, because I had them start me on the lowest dose because I was nervous about it, I'm wondering if maybe I needed a higher dose because maybe I, in fact, I feel like I always get almost a high right before my period and then a crash. So I'm wondering if maybe I need a little higher level to bring, you know, to wean me down better.
Well, that would be something that I think makes a lot of sense to explore with your doctor. And
okay.
There, because there are several different dose steps with the patches that your doctor can work with you on. And sometimes you do need a little bit more. Sometimes you need less. Depends on what your own cycle is doing. I wanted to come back to something that you said a few minutes ago at the beginning of your question when you said you had tried the bioidentical hormones. Exactly what were you using?
Well, I mean, the first time I tried it was a couple of years ago, and it was from a compounding pharmacy, and it was an estradiol, but it did have estriol with it.
Well, one of the problems that I see over and over with some of the compounded mixtures
mm-hmm.
is that the formulas that they're using don't give very much estradiol. They give too much estriol and too much estrone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also using creams that are very short-acting. So that for migraine sufferers, if you put on one of those hormone creams and it peaks in 15 minutes, but it drops in an hour or two, which is what I've tracked in my own patients,
mm-hmm.
then it actually can make the whole migraine situation much worse.
Mm-hmm.
And what women in our country don't seem to understand because of all the misinformation in the media about this is that we actually have bioidentical hormones that have been FDA approved in the United States since 1975. It's not a new product. It's not something that's only available at compounding pharmacies, and it's not something that was just recently available based on some of the things you read in celebrity books on the subject. Bioidentical hormones have been around for a long time. They were pioneered by some of the pharmaceutical companies overseas, and the European women have had them for the last 40 or 50 years, bioidentical progesterone, bioidentical estradiol, bioidentical testosterone. And we first had that in 1975 with a product that was called Estrace, which is a generic tablet, is the brand name of the generic estradiol that is now available in tablet form as a generic. So I think it's unfortunate that women have come to think that the only source for bioidentical hormones is compounding pharmacies, when we actually have much more reliable products that are FDA approved, that are manufactured to commercial standards and have a certain reliability. And I think that may be part of your problem as to why that didn't work. They just are not very stable.
Okay.
Hopefully those are some ideas for you to pursue with your doctor, and I'm glad you called in tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, caller. This is Dr. Vliet on Straight Talk About Hormones. Welcome to our show. Caller from area code 503. Can you hear me? Well, it looks like we still have the occasional glitch on the accessing the callers. I hope that our discussion tonight has helped you with some of the important differences in types of hormones. I'd like to talk a little bit about the types of hormones that have been in the headlines in the last 5 years. Ever since the 2002 tsunami in women's health, with the release of the Women's Health Initiative, Women have been frightened and confused about hormones and hormone therapy. But what most women don't realize is that the Women's Health Initiative was based upon Premarin, a mixture of horse-derived conjugated estrogens, or the group that were taking PremPro, which is a mixture of the horse-derived estrogens coupled with a very potent synthetic progestin, medroxyprogesterone acetate, or in other forms, its brand name is Provera. In the Women's Health Initiative, the studies were done on older women, average age, close to 65 years old, and many of them had been without hormones for 10, 15, 20, some up to 30 years after menopause, and then they were started on these particular commercial products that are not like what the human body has always made. In addition, they were given as pills, and the research for the last 30 years, going back to work done in England, as well as some of the recent studies, the Esther study from France, has shown very clearly that hormones taken in pill form have very different risk, greater risk of blood clots, for example, more risk of gallstone. Some of the problems that we saw with the Women's Health Initiative, which hit all the headlines, had to do more with the types of hormones, the fact that they were pills rather than gels or patches, and the fact that the women in the study were already elderly, were long past menopause, and already had a number of health problems. About 35% of the women were significantly overweight. Roughly 35% had high blood pressure. And there was a significant percentage who had diabetes. 40% were former smokers, and 10% of the women were still smoking during the study. So all in all, there were a lot of significant differences between the way the study was designed and the women that they studied and the types of hormones they studied. When we compare that to what's been done in Europe or what is typically done in clinical practice of helping women with hormone problems who have symptoms, who are close to menopause, and tailoring the particular approach and product to what that woman's medical needs may be. The thing that was so amazing, and most women don't realize, is that the women in the Women's Health Initiative were specifically selected as ones who didn't have symptoms. They didn't have hot flashes. So then that raises the question, was this just a very different group of women from the women we see who come in their mid-40s and early 50s who are profoundly symptomatic and who really are suffering and not sleeping and having horrible hot flashes and fuzzy thinking? It's like the power surges hit your computer and knock out the circuit. Well, the hot flashes hit your brain and knock out some of the memory circuits and the thinking circuits and the sleep circuits. So consequently, women that we normally would be trying to help with hormone problems are really experiencing the effects of losing their hormones, whereas the women in the study were well past menopause and already had other health risks and did not have symptoms any longer. So I think all of those mean that we need to individualize our approaches, and we need to look at how we can do a better job of helping women have balanced risk and good information and use some of the bioidentical FDA-approved products that have been on the market that have been subjected to the usual safety and effectiveness studies so that women do have relief of symptoms and have the health benefits that we know come from maintaining healthy hormone balance. And I think it's very interesting. I'd like to read you a quote from a woman in Louisville, Kentucky, who had published her comments in a letter to the editor in the newspaper, and I thought it was so poignant. She was rebutting a woman who had written in saying that something about hormones being a joking matter and not that trivial, and hot flashes really weren't that important. She said, "Hot flashes are like someone putting a pillow over your face in the middle of the night, pouring gasoline over you and setting fire, waking in a panic, gasping for air. That's what night sweats can feel like. This is a gift? I don't think so. These side effects are annoying and inconvenient. I am one of those who chose to take hormones and would fight to the death if anybody tried to take them away from me. I would rather live a few years less but have better quality of life while I'm here. A much simpler reason to take them is that my husband and family deserve the gift of a sane, coherent, and happy wife and mother. Phyllis B., Louisville, Kentucky." And that was published in the Courier Journal, April 30th, 2007. And for the Phyllis B.'s of this world who are suffering from misinformation and myths and mismanagement, this Straight Talk About Hormones show is designed to help you get the help you need and find a way to work with your doctor so that you can have good health, zest, and vitality. We're running out of time tonight on our show, but I want to thank all of you listeners. I want to thank those callers who had questions, and I want to let you know that you can check my website, www.herplace.com, and find a place to leave your questions for upcoming shows. We'll address them as best we can and do our best to give you the latest, greatest straight truth from the international research. If you missed a part of the show or you want to hear it again, our programs will be archived here at blogtalkradio.com. If you have a comment, we'd encourage you to leave your comments on the Blog Talk Radio website. And if you would like to know about upcoming topics or if you have suggestions for upcoming topics, send us your questions, send us your suggestions at my website, www.herplace.com. And I just want to mention that I have written a number of consumer books. My goal is to provide information to help women lead healthier, happier lives with good medically sound information. If finances are a problem, you can access my books in the public library. They're available on Amazon. And the profits from the sale of my books go to support my educational foundation, Straight Truth About Hormones, and our national campaign to educate more women on these important health issues. For now, thanks for listening, everyone. I look forward to talking with you in the weeks to come, and I want to wish all of you savvy women straight truth and balanced hormones, and have a great week ahead. We look forward to hearing from you next week on Straight Talk About Hormones.